Okay, welcome to our first Mission Somerset podcast. We hope that this 30-minute podcast will give you an insight into not only the work we're doing, but also who we are as people. So there's myself, Ben Taylor.
Jan Nidiadwa.
Carol Damien.
So this is the first time we've done anything like this. So we're a bit nervous about whether we're going to have an argument or disagree with things, but we wanted to show people the amazing things that God is doing through the work we're doing, but also to give people an honest understanding of what it's like to work closely as friends and brothers. So we hope that you enjoy this 30 minutes. And more than that, we hope that it encourages you to devote yourself more to Jesus. Because anything that we do in his name, anything that we'd like to want to do about disciple making and church planting has to come out of our own relationship with Jesus and our relationship with others. So before we get into it, let's take a minute to pray. So Jesus, we thank you that you have called us to be your disciples and your followers. You've called us to love you and to love one another.
Yes.
And we pray that you would draw out of our hearts some things that will be encouraging and inspiring to the people that are listening today.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so this first podcast, the title of it is How Did the Story Begin? And I think I'm going to ask Damien to kick us off and tell us, Damien, where did your story with Jesus begin and how did it get to this point?
My story with Jesus began in Turkey. I used to beg down on the streets of Turkey in Istanbul with my grandparents. My mother ran away from my father, for he was beating her to death. Even now I remember the last time he lifted up my little sister from her hair and smashed her hair into an iron gate. And forever she's been disabled, never able to recover since that event.
In sort of psychologically or physically?
Psychologically.
Yeah.
And my mom ran to Turkey, so there is a lot of mosque in Turkey. And I used to basically pray to Allah in seeking Jesus, really.
So you went with her to Turkey?
I did, yes. Me and some other of my brothers. And
What year was this?
This was in the year 1995 or 1996.
How old were you then?
I was about the age of 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Yes. And basically, I was sitting in the mosque, praying to Allah and saying, is this even real? Because if it's real, I'd like to know.
What, that there is a God?
That there is a God, yes. And I haven't found God there until I was of the age of 12. We moved back to Romania, a very long story, how did that happen? And I went to a Pentecostal church. And there, for the first time, I prayed in my own natal language, which was Romani Gypsy. Not many people could understand me. I just was convicted of my sin, and I said, Father, forgive me for all the sins I've done. The people around me, they could not understand what I was saying, but this guy just put his hand over me, and he started praying in some weird tongue. I did not understand. And then he says, God has forgiven you all of your sins. And all you have to do now is give your life to him. I couldn't believe how on earth did he understand what I was saying. So those are my beginnings. And ever since I started to seek Jesus, I got baptized at the age of 16. And I entered into mission by the age of 27.
Hmm. Can you just say a bit more about, because you were in northern Romania, you went back from Turkey, and you were, what, probably about 15 when you went back to Romania?
No, I was 12 years old when I moved to
and
Romania.
And you went back to the gypsy village that you originally came from, and but you got involved with a Pentecostal church, but it was a mission, wasn't it? But founded by a guy from Manchester, is that right?
Yes, it is correct.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So why don't you fast forward a little bit, Damien, and tell us what has the story been like since you came to the UK?
Well, I moved into England in a small town, Curry Rival, to get married. That's why I moved there, to be honest.
What, to find a woman?
No. Oh. I moved in career rival because I wasn't allowed to marry my wife in Romania because of my different background. She was a Romanian and I was a gypsy, so it could not happen in Romania. The fusion would not be allowed to be.
Okay, so you've had quite a bit of prejudice against you from being a gypsy.
Yes. So after I moved to England, I got married to my beautiful wife, whose name is Emma. And then I started to work in Tesco's as a customer service assistant. I had other jobs as well besides that. And then I worked my way up through a program called Options. I've been doing it for 2 years. Option is a program of management. And after 2 years, God just spoke to me on the aisles of Tesco. I want you to come out and do mission work. Go and tell others about who I am and how I've forgiven you and how much I love you. To the point where I could not bear to hear God's voice and not do anything about it.
So you were working at Tesco's?
Yes.
Was it night shift?
It was night shift, yes.
And you were working in the aisles and you felt God was calling you? Would that be fair to say?
It is, yes.
And how did you hear that call or understand it? Explain a bit about that.
Okay, so basically my journey was a very hard one because I was a bench type Christian. I would go Sundays to church, be on my bench, not really get involved with the brothers in church because I was always scared what they think about my belief or how good am I in theology or how much I love God. And all of these questions were troubling me. And because of them, they were like a barrier. I could never be who God made me to be. So one night in Tesco's, I read in the letter of John, because it's John 1, John 2, and John 3. So the letter of John, the first one, chapter 3, verse 9. Whoever sins is of the devil, but whoever does not sin is a child of God. And those verses really struck me to the point where I started to read the Bible like a crazy person. I even now believe that I read the Bible probably twice in one night. I think it sounds impossible, but I believe that.
What, the New Testament?
No, the whole of the Bible. Wow. I don't think it's possible, but somehow weirdly my brain says I've done it. I don't know how. And I just received this strength conviction inside me to the point where I believe I heard the voice of God talking to me. I genuinely did.
Wow. So what did you do about it then?
So after God said He wanted me to do mission work, I started to pray and ask God how to do this work. So in my local church, I went to seek out a famous preacher, evangelist, whose name was Chris Gadd, I think his name is. It is Chris Gadd. And after trying to get in touch with him, for some weird reason, I don't understand why to this day, we just didn't come together. And after praying about it even more, I met with my pastor, Matt, telling him about the deep desire and the call of God on my life. We met at Wetherspoon, and it didn't seem to lead anywhere that either. And after praying even more about it, I went home that day thinking about a friend of mine, whom I've known for 10 years but never really had a relation with. His name is Ben Taylor, who's here with us today. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
Basically, my wife said, have you thought about Ben? Because he'd be a guy who can help you do mission work. And when she said it, that was like a confirmation. Maybe that is what God wants for me. So I got in touch with Ben.
Great. And we can talk a bit more about the story after that, a little bit more maybe in this podcast later. But thank you, Damien.
I know you're pointing at me, Damien, Ben. But I think you're chomping at the bit to say something, and I think you should let you out of the stalls and let's see how come you ended up where you are. How did it start? And because you came from a Christian family, and they were doing like youth work at the church, local church here, so you came out of that. Yeah, let's hear what.
As you said, Jan. So I've been brought up as a Christian, you know, that you go to church on a Sunday, that you read your Bible, that you pray, you meet with other believers. But probably about maybe 10, 11, 12 years ago, me and my wife, Catherine, who's from Australia, you know, we began to feel that God was calling us to do something a little bit different. You know, I remember Catherine sharing the story that she was walking home from the church meeting we'd gone to, and she felt God was saying to take her shoes off. So you can imagine, you know, this seeing this lady walking through the streets of our little town with no shoes on. It was probably in the winter. But she felt that God was saying that he was calling us to walk on paths less travelled, and that actually by taking your shoes off, you feel the road more. So, you know, around that time as well, we were leading a house group with young adults, and that was happening in our home on a Wednesday night. And, you know, neither me and my wife are what you would say theologically trained. You know, we've not been to Bible college, we've not done any of those things. And all we knew that we were meant to do on that Wednesday night was to help these young guys connect with Jesus and connect with each other. So, you know, all we did was we did a bit of music, we had some food, and we decided we would just go through the book of Matthew with these young people. And, you know, after about 6 months, it was really exciting. You know, a couple of people had left because clearly they didn't really want to know about Jesus, and that's okay. But all the other guys, you know, they were really growing in their faith, and they were starting to ask questions like, how are my friends who I meet at the pub going to know about Jesus? Or how are my friends at work going to know about Jesus? And anyone who knows me will know that I'm not very good at keeping on doing things for the sake of doing it. And I began to think, you know, this is really good what's happening in our house on a Wednesday night, but how are we going to empower and train and teach these young adults that we're discipling to continue this work and disciple the people they know? Because all of the people they know would never go to the church on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, as good as the church meeting could become, as modern as you made it and all these things, there was a too big a gap between the culture of the church that we were part of on a Sunday and the 99% of people in the world.
Mm.
So that started to create a lot of questions for me. Because I thought, I believe in the church, I believe in gathering with other believers. But above that, I believe in the spread of the gospel as the command that Jesus has given us.
Mm.
So we began to ask a lot of questions. Around that time, you know, I felt God call me in a similar way to Damien. To quit my job, I was doing some care work, and I felt God clearly one night call me, invite me, challenge me to quit my job, to give myself to prayer. So at that stage, we weren't thinking anything about church planting or mission or anything. It was a very strong calling and sense that God was wanting to birth something for us, and I felt this burden and anguish in my heart, and that the only thing I could do is to give myself to prayer. So I went into work the next day and handed in my notice, and I started to do exactly what Jesus had told me to do, give myself to prayer. And ever since then, we've never been employed by anybody or had a wage, but God has provided as we've tried to give ourselves to prayer and honour him and do his work. So over time, God opened some doors to travel to other countries and to see how Jesus was building his church in other cultures where maybe they couldn't do a lot of the things that we take for granted here in the UK. You know, I saw the church in China that had to meet in secret in homes. I saw the church in India where they have no material resources, but they would go to village to preach the gospel and plant churches with no money. And I saw God was causing his church to be fruitful in other countries in a way that I didn't see in England. And what I'd heard growing up in churches and in Christianity in England and the UK and the West, the reason for that was because the ground was harder in England and the UK. And I had to get to the point where I felt I needed to disagree with that and say, actually, That's not a good enough excuse about why the kingdom is not coming in the UK. It's not good enough to say that people are not coming to faith in the UK because the ground is too hard. Because in other countries, I saw people fasting and praying, staying up all night, weeping. I saw, you know, churches gathering together where every single person was being trained to be a missionary. You know, I saw churches in China meeting in homes where everybody came and everybody was expected to make disciples. And I saw that people in other countries were doing things completely differently. And the things they were doing looked more like what disciples in the Bible did. So I began to have a bit of an issue and a problem with the form of Christianity that I'd grown up with and become comfortable with. And I felt that I couldn't do that anymore. I felt that, along with my wife, we needed to model and we needed to live a different way. And we needed to live in a way as disciples of Jesus who would begin to make disciples of people that are very, very far away from Jesus, to gather them together in churches that are more simpler and more real and more authentic. They might meet in a pub or in a cafe or in a house. But that when people met together, it was to be equipped and trained to spread the gospel, not just to come and sit down and to be a bum on a seat. Because here in the UK, you know, maybe 99% of people don't know Jesus. And they're heading to an eternity without him. And it's not a time I feel to be sitting down in a church, in a meeting, feeling good about ourselves or our meetings or our times of worship. We have to allow, I believe, Jesus to redefine everything we're doing around his mission, that he wants to his church to make disciples of all nations, so that people of all tribes and tongues know him.
Yeah, no, it's good. I sort of heard you talk before about you've been to China, and I didn't know you'd been to India, but then that thing of where you saw other people, nationalities, you know, treating the gospel as something very practical, something very much boots on the ground, let's do it, we can do this. And you were comparing it to what you saw in this country, and obviously that gave you a lot of impetus to bring that here. And I hadn't heard that before, so that was quite interesting.
I think, you know, when we, you know, the last thing I will say is, the more we've done mission, the more we follow Jesus, the more I've realised the most important thing is, what's God calling you to do? And, you know, when we were in a time of prayer, thinking about what is it that God is calling us to do, we're asking a lot of questions about church and all these things, God clearly called us and challenged us and said, what needs to happen to see every person in your part of the UK transform with the gospel? And I believe that that is the foundation of everything that we're trying to do in Mission Somerset. The question doesn't start with what should church be like, or what do we like, or what songs do we like, or how are we going to solve this issue. The challenge from Jesus is he wants to transform the 1 million people in Somerset, and what is needed to see that happen. So, you know, I remember being at a meeting with church planters, and people were going around sharing their vision or their hopes. You know, and I was sat there having this burden on my mind, thinking about the million people of Somerset, and I was listening to the things that people were saying, and they were lovely people, genuine followers of Jesus, but they were talking about church planting in the way that a lot of people think. And by that I mean hiring a hall, having a paid leader, sitting in rows, all these kind of things. And, you know, I was listening to what people's goals and hopes were, and a lot of people were saying things like, we want to see 3 churches planted in the next 20 years. And as I listened to all of these hopes, I felt really, really challenged and discouraged, because I thought, if this is what we're hoping for, Jesus's work is not going to be done. And I felt God say to me in that meeting, imagine starting a movement which led to at least 1,000 churches being planted amongst 1 million people of Somerset. And that's what I think about every day. And that's why we started Mission Somerset, and that's why now we're building a team.
Yeah. I think just to, you know, for my sort of shout of the podcaster, about, you know, Jesus, God speaking to us, is that he spoke to me, I think through, like, my pain. And, you know there's something, you need, you know that the world can't feed you or supply you with the things that you need when you start to feel anxious about the world, that you, your place in the world, that you the skin that you're in, you don't fit very comfortably with. And it's very much to do with your childhood, growing up, and the world, the way the world has lays expectations on you. And I suppose I came through, I went to art college, I'm a sculptor, and I had this issue of anxiety and social anxiety. And so coming from art college, you sort of look to the grass is greener. And so I looked into Buddhism and did lots of meditation through my 20s. And carried it on into Sufism, Anthroposophy, Gnosticism. I went through the whole Reiki, crystal healing. And it was really like a huge desire I had to find healing, how to find peace, and to be comfortable in the skin that I lived in. And I couldn't find it. And it wasn't till mid-30s when anxiety turned into a panic attack, turned into depression, and I was looking to do, you know, visualizations, positive thinking, trying to get myself out of like dark places, and looking and taking medication to try and get myself to heal, all the conventional ways that the world will say, you know, how you get out of these situations, but nothing was working. And not until somebody said, why don't you try looking at the teachings of Jesus Christ? And I'd given everything else a fair crack of the whip. So I thought, with the same token, I'll do that. And I don't do things half-heartedly. Like when I was in my 20s, I was into gurus. And so I'd read this really thick book about this woman had gone to India to find a guru and try and find enlightenment, and it looked like she was experiencing that. And that's what I did. I hitched off to India. I never got there, but that's how determined I was. It didn't matter. I needed peace. I needed an answer. I needed truth in my life. And suddenly I arrived at Christianity, and I was reading the Bible, and I was going to a church, and it had an evangelical element to it. And one night I made a commitment, and it was a fairly sort of shallow commitment, but it was a starting point. And nothing happened for the first month, and then one day I was walking around my hometown in Derby, which is where I lived before, and I met an acquaintance, and I was chatting to them, and my personality was fairly sort of precarious. And as I was chatting to them, I muffled and stumbled over what I was saying. And I felt embarrassed and stupid after that. And I sort of repressed it. But what would happen, it was like a trigger point for anxiety and panic. And I'd wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and be looking at the hellhole of madness. And this was over, you know, years of experiencing anxiety. And it was a real thing. And it was like living a waking nightmare. And it was a terrible, terrifying. And you, and people that might be listening to this have experienced anxiety, probably not to this extent, but you know that sense of being incredibly agitated and troubled in your spirit, and you're looking for like solace, peace. And that night, I got on my knees, got out of bed, got on my knees, and I prayed to Jesus, which was, you know, God come down in the form of a man called Jesus, and. You know, I'd read that he'd fed thousands of people, he'd healed thousands of people. The only living, spiritual leader that ever walked the earth that was raised from the dead, and that's who I appealed to that night. And I experienced an amazing peace, a sense of comfort that was pouring into me, a sense of the ground inside me solid. It was on firm ground where it was before. It was sinking sand, and now I was on solid ground. As the anxiety was still there, but I had it for the first time in my life. I had the option to focus on this love, this comfort, this light, this sense of peace. And I never let go of it. And I knew every time I read the Bible, I was feeling it, experiencing that energy, that sense of love. And it was out coming outside me, beyond me, and it was just pouring into me. And if I was in a church and I was praising Jesus, I would feel that power, and I just wanted more and more of it. And
could I just ask you, Jan? It interests me because you've obviously not grown up in going to church and things like I have. When you had your experience with Jesus and you became one of his followers, what were some of the things straight away that you felt that he was asking you to do, or things that you felt this was normal for you to do as a follower of Jesus?
I think that there was always this question when you read the Bible, that there was something to be done out there in the world about proclaiming God's answer to the world, so a truth, a message, you know, the same healing, the message that I received and I was healed through, that there was other people out there that needed that. But there wasn't the bridge. When I was in a church, it was just people talking about things to do with the Bible, but not people role modeling that action outside. And it was like a burden on me. I wasn't getting it. It was my fault. And it was like this sword of Damocles over me. It was like, come on, Jan, let's get on with this. You know, it was like the Holy Spirit was pushing into me, saying, come on, there's something you need to be doing. And I didn't know what it was, because it was happening in the Bible, but I couldn't see people doing it in the church. And it wasn't until there was a group formed that started doing outreach to the youth locally in Langport, down here in Somerset, and they said, do you want to be part of this? And I knew what that first night, when we were sitting around, it was like a chimney of fire, and we were giving them teas and coffees and biscuits to these youths, sitting around chatting to them, and they were sort of opening up, and we weren't teachers or parents, so it was quite neutral. And I thought that first night, yes, I was doing it. I was doing something that was helping other people and sharing God's love, God's peace, and it was like massive relief. I can tell you, it was such a massive relief, and I felt blessed afterwards, and I thought I needed more of that, and that was my sort of breakthrough out of that sedentary church mentality and the gospel, which just seemed to be like a theory, and it was just starting to put it into practice. There was like the warm blood of Jesus Christ pouring, going in outside, beyond my world, into the community, and eventually he said, right, I want you to stand outside this shop and talk to people as they come out, which is a local sort of one stop, and to start sharing the gospel with people, and then he said, okay, I want you to knock on people's doors. And each time that God would sort of upgrade me, I would say, no way, Jose, this is like too much, I can't do this, it's too embarrassing, or it's too much of a sacrifice. But then I would eventually cross that line and do it and be obedient. And each time I'd get used to it, and then he'd give me another task, another mission. But each time I'd say, and I'd probably just end it in saying that God's grace, God's peace, God's strength, God's spirit was with me every time I stepped out on those trials, those missions, and it was became an addictive thing to be in his presence, to be with him. I wanted just to be more with him, sharing the gospel, and it's something that just drew me more and more out. I'm sold out for that work and what Jesus is calling on my life. So,
and,
yeah.
And how, Jan, did you get involved in Mission Somerset?
Well, through your dad, who was coming to the same church as me here in Somerton, and he would he kept mentioning, oh, my son, you know, he'd be a Ben. He's like, he's, you know, he's very into what you're talking about. Because I'd go up on the front of the church and say what I'd been doing. And people sort of warmed to what I was doing.
Well, they didn't always warm to what you're doing, did they?
No, not always. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's been a, you know, hot and cold sort of relationship with, you know, because it's all, churches tend to be pastoral, and then they're not apostolic, that thing of going out. You know, there's always a tension between the apostolic,
apostolic.
The apostolic versus the sedentary, for want of a better word. Pastoral, that's the word. And so, yeah, there was, but then that's fine, and you know, okay, they said certain things to me that where, you know, sometimes they've discouraged me from going out and knocking on people's doors and telling them about Jesus, because they didn't initially initiate it. But they did bless my work eventually. Sorry, you're going to say?
Yeah, no, that's good.
I have a question to ask Ben.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm not sure if it is very clear on the podcast is that none of us is rich. And I think I'm right when I say this, that all three of us live through faith. So Ben, my question to you is, just like I quit my job, Jan doesn't have a job, he does what he does, but we don't have an income unless God provides for us. What would you suggest to our listeners who are listening now and thinking, oh, should I be quitting my job and do what this guy's done?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. You know, I'm very mindful when I'm sharing my story that I talk about Jesus and obeying God's will for your life, because it's not about all doing what I'm doing or Damien or Jan. It's about being a disciple of Jesus. So this, you know, I have lots of friends who they're obeying Jesus and making disciples by having well-paid jobs in an office, and they're seeking to bring God's kingdom to the people they're working with. So, you know, I believe we're in a body of people, the church, and the goal is to help each other obey Jesus. So, you know, our hope from this podcast is that people listening will be inspired and encouraged to obey Jesus. I've recently written a book, and I sent it to someone to look at, and I said, you know, what did you think of it? And she said, I haven't finished. I'm really sorry. I haven't finished it. I started reading it and God spoke to me and I had to stop and I had to start praying and fasting. And I said, that's really good, because that's the point of it. This is the point of everything, is to help people to be disciples of Jesus. So, you know, as a network, Mission Somerset, we meet as simple Jesus communities, churches, daily and weekly in homes, in cafes, in pubs, wherever the people are. And then we meet once a month as a bigger network. And then there's a small team of us, Jan, Damien, me and others, who are trying to equip everybody, all of the new disciples and all the people in our care, that they're the missionaries. You know, it's not just us as the special ones. It's everybody has a calling from God to make disciples. Everybody in our network is called to baptize new people and teach them to obey Jesus. And that's really what we're trying to do. And if people want to know a bit more about what we're doing, they can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search us on Mission Somerset. And we also have a website, www.missionsomerset.com. .co.uk. And if you'd like to find out more, like to share any of your stories about how Jesus has called you and how you've begun to do that, then we'd love to hear that, and we'd love to make contact with you.
Yeah, and share it on this podcast, your stories of what Jesus has done in your life. And yes, it would be great to hear that. So any input at the bottom of the podcast, there should be a link to an email or the website, as Ben has said, and send in your story. It could be just a voice story, or just you want to write it out. A brief thing, like you chatted to somebody at Tesco's about your faith in Jesus. It could be just really small, but it'd be great, encouraging to hear that there's people out there that are trying to just reach out to people. And so that'd be fantastic.
Also, Ben, I wanted to ask you one more question before we let our listeners go. How can we help our listeners? Is Mission Somerset to any help to them? Can you answer that?
Yeah, hopefully it is. There's a few different things. People could come and experience life in the mission here in Somerset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're looking at having weekends where people get trained, but they come and experience what it's like to be part of a movement that's making disciples. So if that's something that people are interested in, because a lot of us know the theory, but we don't know actually how to do it.
Mm.
So, you know, you come and stay with the team, come and live with us, warts and all, and you'll get to see that actually Jesus isn't looking for extraordinary people. He's just looking for people who will obey him and serve others. Mm. If you look on some of our social media, there's also Jan's written a book called Harvest, which is a really good insight into some of the stories about what God's doing. I'm about to release a book. And we also offer training. So, you know, if you're a church or an organization or a community of people where you feel like you could do with a bit of a practical boost or some practical skills or tools, maybe to help you go from where you are to where you know that you need to be, then that's something that we can maybe help with as well. So again, just feel free to contact us, because you know, we want to help people everywhere reach everyone.
Mm.
You know, we're working in Somerset, but you know, we want to equip and help and inspire and encourage, pray, stand with people across the UK and people across the world. And because the work is to make disciples of all nations.
Mm.
Thank you, Ben. And now, just before we go, I think the question stands with you. What are you going to do about it? And how will you be able to use this responsibility that God just placed on your shoulders? So I'm just going to pray for you. So Father, I lift up these listeners, whoever they are, wherever they are, whichever parts of the corner of the world, that your Holy Spirit, Father, be upon them, and that this message was not a waste of time, but rather, Father, there will be warriors, people rising up for your kingdom, spreading all over the world, Lord, and making you coming back sooner rather than later. Change their minds, change their hearts, and we entrust them to you, Lord, that you will let this work grow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, and I just pray that you just rate us as well, because there's a star rating you can put on podcast. That'd be really good to send us up the ranks to get us noticed as well. So thank you for listening.